Okay, so I'm going to start this one off a little differently. I want to tell you about a dream I had a couple days ago.
Okay.
Okay. So, well, apparently a lot of my dreams feature hockey.
This Wait, hold on a minute. We're not doing introductions now?
This is it.
We're just giving up on that?
No, just hold on. Just go with me. Okay?
All right.
So, I'm with a hockey team. We're on the bench, all right? We're about to go out onto the ice. So, like our coach gives us a pep talk or something, and then we all file out onto the ice. Don't interrupt me. And I look down. I'm wearing Skechers, not ice skates. So I scramble over. I'm goalie, apparently. I always seem to be goalie for some reason. But anyways, so I scramble over to the net in these Skechers. Nobody notices that I'm not wearing ice skates. And so I'm just sitting, like, trying to keep my balance in the goal. And then after the first period, I turn to my team like, guys, I'm not wearing ice skates. They're like, well, go get some. And so I go to, like, this equipment desk. Like, you would see it, like, a consumer ice rink, like, with tourists and stuff.
Like a bowling alley?
Yeah, yeah, like, to get
what
your shoes.
What size you need?
Yeah, exactly. And say, like, I need some ice skates. And he hands me these pair of rain boots with blades on the bottom. And I was like, no, I need, like, legitimate hockey skates. He's like, this is all I got. And so I play the rest of the game with these rain boots attached to blades. It was duct taped on. Yeah, yeah. Like it was a very interesting dream that I thought I would share with you before we started the show. So now, let's start the show. What's up? This is Couch Co-op Podcast, episode number 20.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I'm Joe Nixon.
Casey Tapp.
We're back.
Finally.
We're on this 2-week schedule thing or something. I mean, well, we make time when we make time.
We talked about it the other day. We tried to decide on just maybe doing it every other week.
Yeah, but I really like the weekly idea. Like, I just want to do it weekly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I mean, we're just figuring this out as we go.
Maybe we should do every other week, and then if we do it weekly, then it's extra. It's like a bonus podcast.
I don't know. I would like to do it weekly, no matter what. But before we get into our topics of the weeks, we are first going to send out our thoughts and prayers over to Rooster Teeth for losing a really great animator this past week. Monty at 33, died to an allergic reaction in a simple medical procedure. So that was pretty rough. Monty Oom was one of those people who I didn't realize how big his spread was until
he was
like
a big part of a lot of stuff
until you see like the outpouring on Twitter
I had
no clue like people like Ryan Clements, former IGN person, you know, was friends with them, or even like people from the Kind of Funny crew and the Inside Gaming crew, like everybody like just knew this guy and knew how great he was. It's said
well, he
said week.
And he's one of those people where you didn't really see a lot of him on scene, you know?
Right.
But he did so much work behind the scenes. Like, he was their lead animator. Like,
yeah.
He was in control of everything when it comes to that stuff. So
super
he's also
talented.
The creator of Ruby.
Yeah.
And that has just taken off. Like, I haven't watched much of it, but
it's on Netflix now. It's crazy.
Like, within the first, like, two or three episodes that they did, people started dressing like that for conventions and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it kind of goes to show, like, how big of a deal, like, it
Rooster
all was.
Teeth in general is, yeah. But yeah, so our thoughts and prayers go out to Rooster Teeth. I know it's a tough time, but they're also, as they lose one person, they're also gaining seven this week. The former Inside Gaming crew is now a part of Rooster Teeth under the moniker of Funhaus. It's the German spelling. Those guys, I'm a huge fan of those guys. Their videos are super hilarious. It's like seven comedians, essentially.
And who is this? Do you know their names? You know all their names?
Adam Kovic, James Willem, Lawrence Salters, I just butchered his last name, Sean Poole, a.k.a. Spool, Joel Rubin, and Bruce Green, and Matt Peake.
I'm really surprised you knew all of their names. Like,
I love those guys, man. They're
front
so
and
good.
Back. That's crazy.
Lawrence Saltertag, I think that's his last name. Can't remember.
When you have a name like that, you got to understand that people are going to mess it up from time to time.
But yeah, super excited for those guys to be part of Rooster Teeth family. I mean, we're Rooster Teeth is obviously like a big inspiration for what we do.
Oh my God, yeah.
And to see like their family get bigger and bigger is really exciting.
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind they're going to take over one day.
Yeah, just take over everything.
They're basically going to Austin is going to secede from Texas, and they're just going to have Rooster Teeth land there.
That'd be funny. But they will be staying in L.A. Funhouse will. So Rooster Teeth now has a branch in L.A.
Yeah.
So they're ever expanding. That Rooster Teeth.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy.
One thing that you have to realize, like if it helps you understand how big Rooster Teeth is, Rooster Teeth has their own freaking convention every year.
Yeah. They also were making internet, or they were making YouTube videos before YouTube was a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's true. Yeah, the Red versus Blue stuff.
It started out
season 12 or 13 right now. Like, they basically started video games as like movies or shows, you know.
Yeah, they started Machinima essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this leads us into our first topic.
Drugs.
Yes. Cocaine.
Do them.
The heroin.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Without me.
But the way, what'd you say?
I said without me.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm just kidding. Guys, I don't do drugs. Dad, I don't do
drugs. None of us do drugs here. Couch Cove is drug-free.
Drug-free. We're just screening.
Unless we count alcohol as a drug, which some people do.
Love.
Yeah.
Because your love.
Whoa. Copyright strike. Hold off on that.
Okay, fine.
Let's see. So, the way people will consume games media, or, you know, media pertaining to games, whether it be news, gameplay, whatever, preview videos, is changing.
Yeah,
obviously, you can see it with Funhouse. Those guys are huge. Within a day of launching their new channel, they got over 100,000 subscribers.
It doesn't surprise me. How many did they have before?
Over 500,000.
See, yeah. And all they have to do is go, "Hey, by the way, we're moving over."
Exactly, but people follow these personalities, not the companies anymore.
Oh yeah.
So like, things like IGN and GameSpot and whatever. Things like those big sites that do the review scores and stuff, those are good for a certain thing. But, like, where people are going to get most of their news from now on are these personalities that have come about because of these companies.
Well, and another thing is that, like, one of the big differences in all this stuff is, like, say, if Rooster Teeth broke up. Mm-hmm. Like, if, you know, a group of guys from Rooster Teeth went off and did something else, Rooster Teeth would not be the same.
Right.
It would really break them apart. And the difference is for stuff like IGN, what they've done is they've kind of, I want to say, like, segregated their like, types. They've taken, they have their news portion, which is, like, serious. Like, this is what's happening, you know, blah, 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 and stuff, which is good. But then they also have another little branch on the side where it's like, okay, look at us. We're the fun guys.
Right.
Like, we're like party business. And what happened was is they let their party guys split from them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to take away from IGN
a lot,
because now they're going to have to they're going to have to try to test more people to fill the role of like the fun guys.
Yeah.
But it shows you, it's like, you know, the personality really is what gets people.
Yeah, it's like the new driving force. Like, articles and news do not push things anymore. It's the people. Like,
well, I know, especially using YouTube and Twitch are like the biggest contenders right now for that kind of stuff, because they just
two huge platforms.
Yeah, they show that they let you see like the fun stuff that goes on behind the scenes,
right? Yeah,
and the stuff on screen. So, mm-hmm.
But PC gamers, they like. A lot of them that I know of, like Total Biscuit, is their go-to guy to figure out if a game's good. That British guy who's like, or I don't know if he's British or not, but you know, like he just does his gameplay commentaries on the games that he's playing, and people are like, okay, I'll go buy it, or okay, I won't buy it, based on Total Biscuit, not a review score, but based on a person's opinion.
Yeah.
So like, I think we're finally getting away from those pesky scores. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't mind the scores. I think
the scores are good for like categorizing, but yeah, not for like purchasing stuff.
I think that the scores are good for like people who don't really understand. Like, I would say like maybe like parents.
Yeah,
parents can look at the scores and get a little bit better feel for it. But people who are actual gamers, we look at a score and we go, all right, but what's it about?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what we need to know. So,
but even a lot of gamers just skip the review entirely and go down and look at the score and say, oh, 7.6, I'm totally not buying it. Or 7.6, this game was supposed to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
7.6 is still a passing score.
Dude, yeah, and that's one of those things is, like, if you're one of those guys who has played a really shittily scored, that's not a word.
Terribly
scored. A really bad game that's,
poorly
like,
scored.
Scored, yeah, there you go. So, like, if it's poorly scored and you play it anyways, before you look at the score and you just have a ball with it, mm-hmm. like, you think it's the greatest thing ever, especially if it's, like, a multiplayer one. You can get your buddies involved.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it was made by a 12-year-old. Like, you know, you're going to have fun. But, like, and then you go look at the score and you're like, what, this only got a 5? Man, this game's awesome. What the heck?
Right,
yeah. That's whenever you start realizing, like, scores really aren't that accurate.
Like, it's all about personal opinion anyway. So what you're supposed to do, or, like, at least what I've done, is I've found people on the internet who, like, I have, like, a similar...
Kind of like common interest.
Common interest when it comes to games. Like, do you like story or do you like gameplay? Or do you like both to be good or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, that kind of... So I find people like that and listen to their take on the game. And then that's how I figure out if I'm going to go. Yeah, or just even just watching gameplay in
general. Yeah, because it's like, it's almost like, you know, going to your buddy. You know, you go to your buddy's house when you're a kid and he has Halo and you've never played it before.
Right.
Like, so is this game good? And he's like, oh, man, let me tell you about it. And then he starts talking to you about it and you're like, oh, man, this sounds cool. This sounds really good.
Right.
And it works that way because, you know, especially as one of your buddies, like your friends, like you have a lot in common. That's why you're friends.
Yeah.
So you value their opinion a little bit more. Mm.
And that's one thing the internet's great at, is, like, bring these opinions, like, easier to get to, I guess. And then, like, what was I going
to
say?
Man, it's easy to get to people, but it's hard to get your name out there, though.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, what? Hold on. I got it. You can't...
Sidebar.
Whenever you go out and purchase a game... You can't be furious at the company anymore because this game was terrible. You can go to the internet and watch a ton of videos, make your opinion even before you buy it,
well,
if
yeah,
you want
to
play it or
and
not.
And another thing, I mean, just to touch on that, like, you really can't be mad at a game company for making a game that, if it's buggy, like if it has problems, that's one thing. But if it's just not something that you enjoy, you can't blame a game company for that.
Right.
Because they make that game based on their
tastes.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you may not like it, but the people who made it, like, take pride in it, and they probably had a lot of fun doing it, you know, like that sort of thing. So,
and then,
yeah,
like,
you really got to think about that stuff, too.
Yeah, and plus, like, if you watch the videos, you'll find out that it's not your kind of game before you even buy it, essentially.
Like, yeah, that's my thing. Well, you know, I was just talking about this. Like, I pre-ordered Dying Light.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot about it because I was like, well, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm starting to see things coming out, and I'm like, man, I really should probably buy this game because it looks really good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and try to find some good, you know, gameplay footage of it and see what it's about.
How you make your decisions now.
So. Yeah, I know. I don't even take advice from people at the stores anymore. Like, you used to be able to go in and ask
people. Because they're salesmen.
Yeah, you used to be able to go in and ask people, like, at GameStop, like, what do you think about this? And now, I'm not saying all GameStop people are like this, but a lot of them are trying to push the merchandise, you know. Every now and then, you'll get a guy where you go in there and they're like, seriously? Like,
Rogue Warrior? That's like, what you're going to buy?
Like, dude, like, seriously? You know, it's an okay game, but I wouldn't suggest buying it because you're going to play it for 2 hours and you're going to get bored of it.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that I like to buy stuff from, because if they'll be honest with me, even if it's like you're only going to like it for 2 hours, if you're honest with me, I'll probably still buy it just to see what it's like.
True. Honesty is always the best policy.
Yeah, for real.
But yeah, so here's the question I want to pose to you.
Oh, man. I didn't write down my answers.
So you can't read them.
I don't have the script. Where's the script?
So, since games media is changing, do you think smaller outlets like us will be a thing that people go to? Not us specifically.
Specifically, yeah.
But, like, you know, like, there's all these, like, smaller thing, smaller than Rooster Teeth, smaller than Funhouse, smaller than Inside Gaming, all those things, do you think people will start hopping around the internet finding smaller personalities that they think they can trust because they'll be more honest than possibly some of these larger outlets?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I think that... It's kind of hard to answer that question. I think that one of the main reasons why people go to the big groups is because they are big groups.
Yeah.
There are so many, like, it's like, you know, if you're working on a project at school or something, and you've got, let's say you got two people working on a project.
Mm-hmm.
Project comes out like crap.
Yeah.
Okay. Or let's say it's like, you know, you need to give informative speech. Right, and you have two people working on that speech together. Okay, that's might end up being good, maybe, but you got two people working on something. You're not going to have as much content being pumped out. The more people you have, the more content you can release. So, if you have a big group of people, there's so much more information flowing from that source.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the main reasons why the bigger companies get it really easily. And stuff like this group that you were talking about joining Rooster Teeth.
Mm-hmm. Funhouse.
They have what, like 7 guys?
Yeah, it's a crew of 7.
I was trying to, yeah. Okay, so they have 7 guys, right? That's a lot of opinions coming out.
Yeah.
Like in one little group. And that's good because what happens is...
Conversation.
Well, yeah, conversation. If you're Twitch streaming, if you can get like 2 or 3 people to be in with you, man, that helps so much. Because people like to watch.
Yeah, they talk.
People like to watch groups. But that's not what I mean. What I'm saying is like one person likes red, one person likes blue, one person likes green, one person likes yellow. So whenever you tune in, there's always somebody that you stick to.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you tune in to where it's just one person or two people and both of them like red and blue and you're more of a purple kind of guy, and you're just like, okay, well, this is not really my style.
Yeah.
So then you have to keep you keep jumping and you're like, oh, hold on, this person's green.
Yeah.
This person's yellow. I'm looking for purple. But if you drop into one that has the whole rainbow, then... Sorry.
No, you're good.
If you drop in, it's you know, all the colors, and you say, no. Oh, this guy right here. I'm going to take his side. And then not only are you on his side, but you get to help, you know, converse within the group because somebody will say something. You're like, no, I don't agree with that. And then your guy you like is like, yo, well, I don't agree with that. And you're like, yeah, and you get all pumped.
Yeah.
I think that's why the bigger companies and the bigger groups do a little bit better. But at the same time, it feels – if you go to like – if you find an individual like person or maybe two people, like a smaller setting, it's a lot more like intimate.
Yeah.
And you get – you really feel like you're connected strong. Like,
are you saying we're pretty intimate?
I'm so intimate. No, but like you get what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
It's kind of one of those things where if you watch like one person and you're on the comment board and you're hitting it up or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they – like. It just feels good whenever they respond directly to you.
Yeah.
You know, like if you say, hey, what's your favorite color? And the person
purple.
The person on there is like, purple! And you're like, me too! And you type it on, and they're like, oh my god!
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I think both groups are good. They have their ups, they have their downs. To kind of answer the question in full, I think that like Twitch streamers, YouTubers, mm-hmm. stuff like that. I mean, we've already seen them kind of take off.
Yeah.
I think that in the future, what will end up happening is I think that some of these review companies, like, I mean, not necessarily like IGN, like some of the really big ones, I think they'll stick.
Yeah.
But I think some of the smaller...
smaller, larger ones?
Yeah, you get what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Some of the smaller, you know, big companies will start to kind of fall out or change their ways to...
Well, one of them already did fall out.
We'll see.
Joystick is closed now.
I think they'll start to kind of die down a little bit, or they'll fire a bunch of people and then take their best people and start doing YouTube videos or something like that. Because it's a lot better to do it. Like, reviews are one thing, but nobody wants to read anymore.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't mind reading a review. I actually enjoy, like, if it's a well written review, I enjoy reading it. But like you know, that's not why I play games. I play games so that, one, for entertainment, and then, two, so I can talk about them with my friends. And that's where I think the personality connection comes in handy.
Yeah.
Because it's a conversation that's ongoing between you and the whole internet.
So. Well, and on top of that, gaming is one of those things, and, you know, here at Couch Co-op, we're a big, like, kind of multiplayer kind of based. But it's one of those things where, like, when you do something with a group of people, it's almost like a bonding experience.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you do something really cool. Like I will never forget the first time I beat a raid on Destiny.
Yeah.
When I played on Venus. I didn't play with anybody that I knew.
Yeah.
I sat in the tower, and I gathered all these people. And when we beat it, I felt so nostalgic about it. Like, just so, like, these are my people.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there was a few of them that were stupid. Like, I was like, these are my people. Like, these are the guys that I just made my own history with.
What were their names?
I don't remember, but I will tell you one thing. I friended a bunch of them, and I actually took a picture of the roster on my phone because I was like, I want to remember these people, you know? And, but like I said, some of them were kind of annoying. And then I beat it again with, I think, like three or four of the same people, and then, like, I guess I'm one of those three or four, but... like a few of the same people, and then we got a few more, like, higher level guys, and I took a picture of that one too. And man, it's just one of those things, like, it makes you. It's like being in, like, football or volleyball or, you know,
any type baseball. Of team,
like,
sport.
It's a bonding experience, and you feel closer to the people. Like, you're like, we just accomplished something great together, and even though they've done it like 50 times, and they're like, it's no big deal. Like, for me, it was my first time, and I'm like, this is awesome. Like, this is a step for me. This is my first step on the moon, you know? Like, it's a big deal. So, that's one thing is, you got to look at that kind of stuff whenever it comes to group activities, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the end of my topic. It's a good one. What do you got? What do you got?
Man, I didn't know I was going to have to bring a topic to the table.
What the heck? That's what we do, like, every time.
I feel like I'm going to be biased because I've been playing a lot of Destiny. So, like, I'm trying not to talk about that, but
I guess we could.
I do want to say one thing though, is that I just read right before we got on here, they were talking about that two things about Destiny was that they're saying that the next expansion pack is supposed to drop in
March.
April.
April.
April. It's somewhere between April, June, and July is what they're saying. Like, there's a little. 3-month gap there that they think is gonna drop, and you know, I think people wanted it in March, but space it out a little bit. You know, we're gonna have some time,
right?
Especially for the guys that don't have big groups to level up with quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's one thing I will say. Like, when we were playing, it was just me, you, and occasionally my buddy Daniel.
Yeah,
and it was really hard because we didn't really sync up our times very good. You know, we could only play like. Two people at a time, and then maybe on the weekends every now and then we'd get like three people involved or whatever.
Yeah.
But Daniel's a dad, you know, and you know, you and me don't do anything. So, but anyways, you know, he's got stuff to do. But
yeah.
Anyways, so, but like we kind of died off on that because we just could never get together.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Like,
and I played that game on PlayStation 4 since the day it came out.
Yeah.
We played that game religiously for a while. Like,
yes.
A lot.
Yes.
And
so much.
My Titan, by the time I got done, was only level 28.
Mm-hmm.
And I was stuck at that level because I didn't have anybody to play with to do the harder things to get more like stuff. So it was really hard to level up. So I just recently started playing on Xbox, right? I'm already level 31. How long have I been playing that?
Like, maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like, because I have, I almost have a whole raid team.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a Titan, level 31. And I actually have some of the same weapons that I have in my PlayStation. And I already have them. So it's like one of those things, like, that game really revolves around team play.
Like, oh, yeah.
If you have a good team... you can be high level, but at the same time, for people like me who want to enjoy it, like, if you just fly through it like that, it kind of takes some of the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Know? So, but...
like, that was my main problem, was, like, I would get to a point in Destiny and be like, you know, well, I don't have enough friends that play this game. Like,
yeah. Also, like, what's the next step?
Yeah, like, I don't want to just
keep, what else can I do?
I don't want to just keep grinding just to get the next best thing. Like, that gets old to me after, you know, 20 hours. Or I guess I played it for more like 40 hours. But,
yeah.
But, like, that's too much grinding for
but
me.
But I will say that, you know, like, the strikes are fun.
Yeah.
I can do a strike playlist over and over and over. I don't have a problem with it. It's one of those things, though, where, like, I'm getting to the point now where I'm, like, I've learned my strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for every map we play, I have a strategy. And I can sit in that strike on the hardest difficulty on my own and beat that guy. It'll take me some time, but if you stick to your strategy that works, no problem.
Yeah.
You know. And I kind of brought that to the table with some of the guys I'm playing with on Xbox. I said, look, you know, I'm not trying to change up y'all's way or anything, but I have a way that I do it, and it might, you know, help if you guys want to try it. And they're like, yeah, sure, let's try it. So I started doing that. And now when we do the strikes, I was lower level than them at the time. And we're doing the strikes, and they're like, all right, we're going to follow you.
Mm.
I'm like, all right, but could you, like, get in front of me? Because I'm going to die if I take the lead. I can tell you what to do, but I'm going to have to do it from the back. But it's just, it's nice to have a group now, you know.
Mm.
But anyways.
House of Wolves.
So they were talking about it dropping or whatever, and I think a lot of people, from what I was reading, they said, like, a lot of people were kind of upset that it wasn't coming in March. But, like we, on the little tangent that I just went off on, for the people who don't have groups to play with, it gives them time. It takes them a lot longer to get, like, the new expansion and you know, beat it and get everything they can from it. It takes them a lot longer than, you know, my level 31, my buddy's level 32, and a level 30 or 29
mm-hmm.
can run through it in 2 days and get everything we need from it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
it's only like
people are being impatient.
It's only like February, March.
It's a month past March.
Yeah. It's like, that's one thing I've noticed about Destiny players is, like, if they have nothing to do, they're just like, give me the next thing now. Like,
yeah, they get bored. Yeah, like, that's the thing.
It's like, go play another game.
And you know, like, I'm not a big Crucible guy, I wasn't a big Crucible guy when we played, because it was just us two. And I'm like, you know, you can talk to the other people on your team, but usually you get, like, it's a toss-up, you know. Will I get somebody that wants to be tactical like I am, or are we going to get somebody that wants to bum-rush the whole time and die a lot?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and dying a lot's not a problem. If you want to bum-rush, that's fine, but you have to make sure that it works towards your strategy. Because if you put pressure on the other team, then it's easier for the two or three guys that are behind you to take the points. And that's understandable. That's a good strategy. But you have to make sure everybody wants to do that, or else you're going to be the only guy running into the fray getting slaughtered over and over and over while everybody else is playing defensively. So you have to watch that kind of stuff.
But yeah, like, for the antsy Destiny players, here's a tip. Put the Destiny back in its box until the expansion comes out. Yeah. You're already at the highest you can get to. Just set it away for a little bit. Let that, you know, motivation build up. Go play another game. When it comes out, pull it back out and play again. Like, Destiny doesn't have to be the only game you ever play.
Well, play the multiplayer stuff that isn't the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And over. Play the Crucible. If you're just there because you want to prove you're the best, then prove you're the best in the arena, you know? Because then you don't really get tired of it. Yeah, it's the same maps, but it's always different because you always have different play styles. Every time they reset the match, you know, one person leaves and another person comes in. So you could have somebody that's like a defensive player that's not very good be replaced with somebody who's, like, the best offensive player you will ever encounter.
Yeah.
And you have to change up your whole perspective on that map. Mm. Because that guy's tearing you up. You need to do something different. So that kind of gives you more of, like, a change of pace. So that's a good thing. So, but...
just calm down.
Another thing is that guys are waiting for this expansion pack to come out. And what was it? Let me see if I can pull it back up. I was reading something about, they said that, Activision has already announced that they're working on Destiny 2 right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, dude, what's going to happen is you're going to get both expansions, you know, like you're going to get the first expansion in February, the second one in March, and then you're gonna have to wait a freaking year before you get anything else.
Well, they said there's some more coming in the fall, too.
Well, I know, but you get what I'm saying, like you need to... if it was up to them, they would have all of it right now, and they would beat all of it within a month.
Yeah.
But here's, and then you're going to have this big, long gap of, okay, what do I do until the Destiny 2 comes out?
Well, here's my question. Are you even going to buy Destiny 2?
Me? Probably.
Okay. Well, like, my thing is like, I like Destiny, but I wish I didn't really have, wouldn't have spent, what was it, 60 plus 35, like, $85. I wish I wouldn't have spent $85 on it. That's a lot of money for a game.
How do you think I feel? On Destiny, like, Destiny as a game, I have bought 3 copies of it. 2 of them were special edition copies. I've spent over about $300 on that game.
Yeah. Like it was a fun game, but, like, even if they, like, make it better than the first one, like, it's not worth $80. It's worth 60, but I, like, the expansions are expensive. Like,
I don't know. I think, and this is just because it's different for everybody. Like, for you, obviously, you don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
And that's based on your, like, play, you know, experience, you know. Mm-hmm. But, like, for me, I think $80 is actually worth the, you know, for the DLC, I mean, the season pass, is actually worth it for me because I know my, like, the way I think and the way I do things is what's going to end up happening is I'm going to buy the game, I'm going to love it, and then I'm going to have to go buy the expansion passes later on.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost more. Like, I know in the back of my head, like, you know, I really don't want to pay for the season pass right now because I don't know if I'm going to like it or not. But in the off chance that I am going to like it, then I'm going to have to pay more.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just get it now and get the experience that I get from it, and then if I don't like it, then at least I got the most from my money. You know what I'm saying? Like I got the full experience, even though I wasn't thoroughly impressed with it.
Well, then shouldn't the full experience just come with the game?
Yeah, but yes, you're right, and I agree with you, but like, the way things are today, like, I don't think we're ever going to get back to that. Because that used to be that way. It used to be where when you bought a game, everything was in that game. There wasn't any extras. There wasn't anything like that. They didn't release DLC for it. It was just, look, here's Mario. Here's the whole game. Have fun with it. And the games would be huge, man. You would spend so many hours playing these games. And they were in depth. But now, like, I feel like companies are doing the DLC partly because they want to give more to the people, but also because it helps make the company's money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think we're ever going to get away from it. So it's kind of one of those things where you have to just kind of like accept it and figure out how you're going to deal with it, you know?
I think we will eventually get away from it. But because like The Witcher 3, they're doing DLC 2, but it's all free. Well, I'm interested to see how many people buy that game just because they know they're going to get more content later on for free.
Well, what's the developer for that?
It is, I think it's Red. It's some Swedish developer.
This is the problem, and this is why I say I don't think we'll ever get away from it. Because if somebody comes up to you and they ask you about a game like Joe, who's the developer for Battlefield?
DICE.
Who else works on Battlefield?
EA.
Okay. I just asked you about a game, and you knew 2 of the people who worked on it, right?
Yeah.
And Battlefield has one of the biggest set of microtransactions I've ever seen.
It's redonkulous.
Okay? But a game that you're going to get stuff free for, we don't even know who makes it.
Hold on. It's something Red. I know they're Swedish.
I know, but I'm saying, that's what I'm trying to get at is, like, the popular companies are making you pay for stuff, so that's what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, true. But, like, my thing is that I think smaller games are going to be the games that smaller games from smaller developers are
like starting out companies kind of thing?
Are going to be the games that are worth the money because they're proving everything, and so they're putting all the content into the game instead of, like, having you pay for it later.
Yeah.
Project Red, that's the name. So it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Red. Yeah, well, I knew their name.
But anyways, but you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's the popular companies control the world. Like, that's
right, yeah.
That's kind of how it is. And the popular companies...
Or control the market.
Well, yeah. Well, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. I was just figure speech. But And the popular company is the one who put out the popular games, which means most people are going to go to them, mm-hmm. and they want to make money, so that's what they're going to do. I don't think it's right, but like I said, I've kind of come to terms with it, and
yeah.
But and like, now all I'm doing is just kind of dealing with it as I go. You know?
Yeah, but like my thing is like, I feel like if we don't want DLC to be a thing anymore, like I feel like a lot of people complain about paying for DLC, but then like they feel like they just have to buy it anyway. But like my thing is like, if you don't want to pay for it, then stop paying for it, and they'll make it free. Like it's just such a, like an ass backwards way of thinking about it. Like, no, oh, I really don't want to pay for it.
That's
but
true.
Then I'm going to pay for
See, but you know, that's you got to think of that. That's a world problem. That's yeah. not just games. Yeah. There's all kinds of things going on all over the world where if people would just stop doing it,
yeah,
like it would be really bad for a while. But if you would just stop doing it, eventually they'd be like, all right, well, I guess they're not going to do it anymore. So we're going to have to do something else.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, but it. I don't think it'll ever be that way.
I think eventually.
It would take a gaming revolution to pull that off. Yeah. Like it would like we would have to. I will say one thing though. Xbox almost caused that.
It was close
when they tried to do their
game sharing thing.
All that stuff. Yeah, they oh man.
Like almost, people
they were
almost
set
swore
the building
off
a, on fire.
People almost swore off of big companies for like
yeah
life.
Yeah.
But here my thing is like, I rarely buy DLC anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm just not. I'm going to continue not to buy DLC because.
Well, you have to be thoroughly impressed. I've noticed that about you. You have to be like thoroughly impressed to get like The Last of Us. You couldn't wait for the DLC for that.
Oh yeah, because I knew what I was like. It was an addition.
You knew it was going to be quality. Like
yeah,
it was good.
And it's not like it doesn't complete the whole experience. It's just an addition that makes the full experience.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I get what you're saying.
If you get what, like, it's not like you can play the storyline in Last of Us. And never play Left Behind and still be satisfied.
Yeah.
But then play Left Behind and then, like, you know, it's like it's a nice little addition.
Well, and another thing is that's kind of interesting is that this would be really cool, is that they actually made it now to where the remastered version comes with it.
Yeah.
So,
which
like,
is cool.
Whenever I bought it for the PS3, I played through the storyline and I never bought the DLC because I was just like, well, I don't know, new games came out and I just kind of left it behind. But you know, and then when the PS4 came out and you know they redid the remastered and you know we like to play super bum fights online,
yeah.
So I was like, you know what, I'll go buy it, you know, it's no big deal. And I didn't really buy it for the storyline or anything like that, even though it is amazing.
Yeah, but you've already played it.
I just bought it so that, you know, in the off chance that we ever do want to get on and hit people with bricks,
yeah, It's there.
I'll have it. It's there. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good game. I know it's a good game. I don't plan on ever letting it go.
Yeah.
But that game came with it. So it would be interesting if they decided to do if companies started doing to where you could pay to get that kind of stuff like
early. Yeah.
Like an early access. Like you pay for, instead of saying it's a season pass, just call it an early access pass.
Mm.
And that wouldn't piss me off as much because eventually you get to play it. But,
yeah,
you know, like if for all these people who were like, give it to me now, you know what? If you
let
want
them
it,
pay for it if they want to
yeah,
pay for
because,
it.
Yeah, because, and on top of that, it actually kind of makes sense to do stuff like that because then what you're doing is you're paying the salary for the guys to work overtime to get that stuff out.
It's true, yeah.
Because you think about how much work goes into all this stuff, all these guys who have to work their asses off
yeah.
to make this content. And they could actually kind of relax a little bit if they had more time.
I know it's ultimately to, like, support the developers and stuff, but, like, my thing is, like...
Where does it get greedy?
No, like, it's these big companies, they pump out all this DLC to make money because their companies are so huge. Their staff is significant. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
gigantic number of staff. Where it comes to a smaller company, like the Swedish company Project Red, who's making The Witcher, you know, they have less people to pay for. They're probably going to make their money back in sales of the game instead mm-hmm. of sales of DLC.
Yep.
So I think ultimately it's the big companies that are the ones who are only doing the DLC.
Well, another thing that's kind of cool is if you think about Minecraft, a few guys made that.
Yeah, right? One guy.
Well,
and then like...
Well, I know, but eventually when yeah. they started doing more updates, they kind of had a little bit extra
yeah.
help. But what I'm saying is like, for a long time, there was no DLC.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, like, you know, extra missions or, you know,
right.
stuff like that. You didn't have to pay to get, like, a bigger map.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is,
right.
you know, for a while. as soon as they started doing it with PlayStation and Xbox, well, now you have to pay for that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, but, and that's the PC, which basically, like, if you wanted a different texture or a different skin or whatever, you just go to a website, say, hey, that's the one I want.
Yeah,
and download it. Good to go. You're fine. You don't have to pay for nothing. And it was only, what, $26 when you first bought it?
It was $25.
Something like that, yeah. So, like, that's not bad.
No, no.
That's really good. And that's a game that has an infinite amount of possibilities in it.
Except for whenever they changed their login thing to be at another place, and then all of a sudden I had lost my thing. Like, that was weird.
I had some problems with that, too. But
so I just never played it on the PC.
I assume that they did it for good reason.
Probably. Like, I'm sure it was more stable servers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean. And another thing is that, like, as soon as once it starts blowing up, you really do have to have, like, more security.
Yeah,
and stuff
for
like
sure.
Because then people are going to get on and try to deal, like, you have to deal with identity theft and all that crap, which we're not going to get into. But like, as soon as they started going over to doing all this other stuff, and especially when they sold to Microsoft or...
Yeah.
Now Microsoft is like, okay, well,
Microsoft owns the biggest name in gaming.
A storyline thing, or you know, like just
that was Telltale. That was
I know, but Microsoft was a part of it.
That looks like it's going to jump the shark for me.
I think it'll be good because I believe in Telltale.
Yeah, that's true.
They do good with everything that they do.
Have you played the Game of Thrones game yet?
No, I haven't finished the Tales from the Borderlands either. Mm. I need to do that, but you know. They seem like they do a good job at bringing you a story, and that's good.
An interactive story is always fun.
And another thing is that when they did Borderlands, they actually tried to maintain the look of
the visual style.
The artistic style of Borderlands, which I thought was really good. Like, it's like, you know, if you're gonna make something that draws in, you know, people who are already fans of this game, if you're gonna have like a little side thing. You need to make sure that it stays the way it is, because if you don't, then you're going to lose the hardcore fans.
Yeah.
Like me. I wouldn't have liked it if they just changed up the whole look of it. Mm. I mean, like, well, that's not...
That doesn't look like Borderlands.
It's not Borderlands, you know? You could have done that with any other game, called it anything else you wanted to.
Yeah.
But I think if they do Minecraft, as long as they stick to the boxy... Like, they can make it a little more cartoony if they want to. But,
like,
you know, as long as they stick to, like, the square heads and stuff, and the, you know, the bobble
stupid
arms
running.
And stuff, you know. As long as they stick to that kind of stuff, I think they'll be okay. And I'm actually really interested to see what they do with it. Because, you know, I'm still a big Minecraft fan. Mm. I mean, to this day, you know, I have my ups and downs with it, where I'll play it for like... I'll play for like a straight month, like every night.
A few
3 hours, 4 hours. But after a while, you know, it does kind of die off. Like,
I got burnt out real quick on that game.
Yeah.
Well, not real quick, because I was playing it for like 6 months before I showed it to you. And then about a year after that, then I was like, okay.
Well, and another thing is that, like, you and me play a lot on the consoles now.
Yeah.
Or when we do play, we play on the consoles. But, like, man, I stopped playing on my computer for a while, and I lost it. Like, when I came back, there was so much stuff that had changed. I was walking around like, wait, what just happened? What is that a horse?
The horses.
And you get like I got a tag one day. I was like, what does a tag do? Because like, whenever I first started playing that game, I'll admit, I didn't know what I was doing. So I looked up some stuff. I looked up the crafting table and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Like, it does change a whole lot.
What? Evolve comes out on Tuesday?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Thank you, GameStop,
notification.
For alerting me.
But yeah,
freaking 2 days in advance. What the heck, man?
Are you getting on PS4?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, because
that's probably what I'm going to get it on too. So.
Well, hopefully, if you got on Xbox, you'd be a little screwed.
I'd be a little screwed over. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd
have two copies for my Xbox.
Oh man! But yeah, Evolve Tuesday, and then The Order comes out in about a week and a half.
I've lost.
I'm going to get it.
You're going to have to let me try it before I buy it, because that's purely storyline, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or I'll just play it when you're not home.
Yeah.
There's no sense in buying two if it's not multiplayer.
Yeah, no. So.
I have not kept up with Evolve at all. I don't know anything about it.
I mean, we pretty much know everything. 4 monsters, like 12 hunters.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's like Left 4 Dead, basically.
Yeah.
is the
I'm just hoping,
the kind of game style.
I'm just hoping, like, the online works well without knowing the people. Like, I hope the matchmaking is good enough to where people actually play as team members and stuff.
Man,
because it's not like a huge multiplayer game, you know?
It would be one thing.
I remember playing Left 4 Dead online, and my team was like actually good most of the time.
It would be one thing. See, the only way you can really get people, like, to 100% of the time get people that you don't know to stick to you is by having, like, a reward system for doing things as a team.
Yeah, that's true.
If you take a game...
Or, like, or if the gameplay forces you to play together, essentially.
Like, well, yeah, if you get, like, too far away or something. But, like, that's one of those things, like... I mean, not to, like, roll back around to Destiny, but, like, there's a lot of times in that game, especially when you're doing strikes and raids, that if you're not together, you are screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really makes you want to be like, okay, hold on, where's my team? I got to go find these guys because I don't want to die.
I mean,
and that's like...
That's what I liked about...
That's what they need to stick to.
I mean, that's what I liked about Left 4 Dead was, like, if you weren't near people, you were screwed.
You better be an all-star just to get around.
And I think that's kind of, like, how they're going to do it with Evolve, too. Like, if you're separate... Or if you're too far away from your team, like, the wildlife will come after you, or you'll get stuck in something and then not be able to get out without a teammate, like, that kind of stuff.
So is Evolve... Is Evolve going to have a sort of, like, Left 4 Dead kind of storyline? Or is it purely online?
I know that, like, you go to this planet. Like, there is a story, sort of. But you go to this planet, and there's monsters that you guys are hired to go kill.
Yeah.
Because it's like a colony.
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
I mean, it's like, it's kind of like Left 4 Dead story.
Is it
going to
be like
rudimentary?
Is it going to be like Titanfall, where, like, the storyline is the multiplayer?
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's the way it was in Left 4 Dead, too. Like, the storyline's the multiplayer. Like, that's basically how it is.
Yeah, but there was, a thing that you followed in that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they didn't drop you in an arena and say, fight it out. They said, okay, here you start out here. We need you to get to this location as a team. And you actually, like, kind of, you almost, like, explored your way to that spot.
Yeah, but, like, this is, it's kind of like the same thing. It's just, like, it's open-ended because somebody is controlling the enemy that you're hunting. So, it's still, like basically, I assume there's going to be a cutscene and be like, you're being sent here because blah, 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 blah. And then you drop out of the ship and then gameplay starts.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's kind of how Titanfall is.
Yeah.
But
which I love. Like, I love Titanfall.
Titanfall didn't really give, like, a good, like, there was a story, but I'll be honest with you. Even when I played through the storyline, I still was just like, wait, I don't understand what we're doing.
Like, it didn't really need a story. It was more, like, the first Titanfall was more of, like, a proof of concept. Like, this is our world. We're not going to really go into why everything is like this right now. But here's what the gameplay is like.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is I wish that they would have, instead of saying, here's the storyline, I wish they would have just said, look, this is what you are. You are, like Dust514.
Yeah.
They're like, look, this is what you are. You're a military guy. Go kill other military guys.
Yeah.
And we're going to drop you in with a group. Go kill them. And that's fine. That's what Titanfall feels like.
Mm-hmm.
But when they say, look, there's a storyline and a multiplayer. Give me a directed, like, give me a specific, like, follow this storyline. And I'm fine if you drop me in with six other people. That's fine. But, like, give me a story if I'm going to do a storyline.
Yeah.
In quotations. But... That's what I'm trying to say is, like I don't want it to be one of those things where they say, okay, do you want to do story or do you want to do multiplayer? And then you do storyline, and all the storyline is the multiplayer in chronological order.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that's what I worry about.
I mean,
that's...
Whenever we played Brink, like, it was a fun game. It's just that nobody played it that much. But, like, I liked their story multiplayer thing. Like, there was, like, cutscenes, and the cutscenes change depending on if you won or lost the match.
Yeah.
That was, like, a fun way to go through the storyline. Like, you felt like what you did kind of mattered to the story, essentially. But, if they did an HD release of that game and, like, tweak some stuff,
no.
I'd go back and play it again.
No, it's dead. It's dead. Brink's dead. Start from scratch. I like the parkour.
Hashtag save Brink. I like the art style a lot.
I like the parkour. Yeah, the art style is cool. I like the parkour in it. I did not like the way that the storyline worked out, and I did not like the customization. They made it seem like you could customize all this stuff, but you had to, like...
Unlock everything.
And the unlocks weren't even, like... It wasn't even, like, all you have to do is get, like, this many kills. No, you had to go do, like, a second
like a secondary
objective. Like a challenge.
Yeah.
In a, like a small arena, and if you could beat that challenge, then you would get your part. I'm like, dude, look, I'm trying to work on my KD over here. I don't want to step off and go over here just so I can try to build, like, do something else.
Yeah.
That's not what this game's about. Let me go over here and screw people up and then get parts as I do it, you know? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Hashtag but save Brink.
Redo Brink.
Yeah.
Like, completely. Start from scratch. Keep the art style. Art style's cool. I like the art style.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And I like that they had three classes, the small, the medium, and the heavy. That was a good setup.
That was good. So before we close this out, I also...
We really just kind of just scrambled there at the end.
It was good conversations.
It was good.
I want to talk about Dying Light. I know you haven't played it.
I have not.
But I want to give you my thoughts on Dying Light.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not going to... The story's not that great.
Okay. I was actually going to talk to you about that. I want to come in here and get that at some point during the week.
Okay. But Dying Light. It's like the biggest surprise of 2015 so far. I know we're only 2 months into it, but like this game was not on my radar at all. I was like, oh, Dead Island. Yeah. I freaking hated that game.
I know.
I hated Dead Island. That game was awful. This feels like what Dying Light should be. Or what Dead Island should have been. Yeah. I think that's what they meant.
That's what a lot of people are saying. Right, but like, they say it's amazing.
It's like headshots matter.
They actually work.
Like you can cut people's heads off.
That was your biggest thing.
Like it's a freaking zombie. It should die when I shoot it in the head. That's the like. But
unless it's wearing like a helmet or so. You know, give it a whatever. Reason why it's not dying.
But like the traversal. Like, the parkour stuff is awesome. It's fun. The combat is hard. It makes you want to run away from the zombies because, especially at the beginning of the game, like, you're not powerful at all. Like, you have to avoid combat at all costs or use, like, throwing weapons, like, to just keep them away from you. When the game turns into nighttime, it totally changes the gameplay. It turns into, like, a stealth game. Like, you're sneaking around, avoiding the crazy, super fast zombies at night. It's very scary too at night, but
just,
it's awesome.
Just out of curiosity, do they give any reasoning why the zombies are stronger at night? Don't tell me why. Do they?
I haven't come across it yet because, I think I'm only 40% through the story right now, but I went off and did all the side quests like, and they were way cooler than story mode so far. Like the side quests are like a gem in that game. Like they're really
good. It's like doing the. It's like Far Cry, man. Like,
but it's
sometimes the outside stuff is a lot more fun than the main
story.
Yeah,
but like it's like these side quests are like the first couple ones are like, go grab this, go grab that, get me some medical supplies, blah blah. But then like, the first one I remember like being like really cool was hold on about this.
Oh God!
First one I remember being really cool. This guy was like, we need searchlights to keep. The outside of our tower lit so that, you know, zombies don't try to come in at night or whatever. And, so he sends me to the bridge. A bridge that is blown up halfway through so that, you know, it's quarantined or whatever. And he's like, you need to get the searchlights off of this bridge. And so I go to the bridge and blah, blah, blah. I think they're just going to be, like, you know, like, somewhere along the bridge. And then, like, my icon takes me up to, like, the very top. And so you have to climb up the side of this bridge... And get to this top, and there's, like, tiny little pathways that you have to walk along to unscrew the bulbs and take them back. Like, that was one of the coolest side quests I did. And then another one that was really interesting. This guy was like, hey, I need you to get me a gun so that I can protect myself whenever I try to leave the city. And you're like, you're not going to leave, but whatever, I'll get you a gun. And so another thing that's cool about this game is that the loot makes sense. Like, if you want medical supplies, go to a pharmacy. Loot it. You'll find gauze, alcohol, stuff like that.
Well, it's kind of like, what's that game I got on my Xbox? Zombie game? You know, the guy that used to have the, you know,
Dead
the
Iron,
first one was a,
or yeah, Dead Rising?
Dead Rising, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that made sense.
Yeah.
What you went to in the mall gave you what you needed.
Exactly. And then, but like, you want to find a pistol, look for a police car. Lockpick the back of it, and then... get the pistol out of the trunk or something. So that's what I did. What I like about the side missions is it doesn't hold your hand. Like, most of the time, it's like, go find this. You have to use your brain, like, where am I going to find stuff like this, and blah, blah, and so you do
this
thinking.
You have to remember where stuff is.
You do this thinking in your head, like, medical supplies, pharmacy, or, like, if you need food, go to, like, a convenience store or something like that.
Interesting.
If you want a pistol, look for a police car, and then get it out of that. And so, like, I finally found a police car, picked the lock, got the pistol, brought it back to him, and then, like, he was like, here's the key to my thrift store. Go nuts. Take whatever you want from it. So I go to the thrift store, grab all the stuff, and I'm coming back to the tower because it's getting dark. And then, like, over the radio, somebody's like, can somebody come back here? Somebody just shot four guys and then took off with his kid and kidnapped him or whatever. And so, like, it was your fault. So, like, apparently, like, you meet him further on in the storyline, but I haven't come across him yet. But
wow.
It's pretty, like, the side missions, like, are really cool in that game.
Interesting.
I think that's the shining aspect of it. For sure.
I'll have to play that a little bit.
Yeah. I'm not really, like, too into the... Like, I'm not playing it for the co-op. I'm playing it for, like, the creepiness at night and all that stuff.
Well, that's one of the things, like, from what I've heard, like, as good as it is, could you imagine how good it would be if you had, like, a raiding partner?
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I mean... See, that's the thing I'm worried about, though, is that I don't want it to be one of those things where you go, I'm going to go get it, and then it's like... All right, you can
only
explore.
Yeah,
like,
that's
there's
it.
No missions.
Like I bet you can do the side missions.
Yeah, like,
and stuff like that.
That's the kind of thing like I would like. I just really wish that they would make a game that is zombie related that is based around like a 4-player co-op.
Yeah, I mean that's Left 4 Dead, but it's not
world. Like open world, and they basically I want Destiny for zombies.
Yeah, but where headshots actually make sense.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
like you want a social shooter that's a zombie game.
Exactly, like DayZ, basically. But I understand that that's a really big game. It's
hardcore.
Yeah, it's going to take time. You know, I just want something that I can run around and have fun on.
Yeah, like so far that seems what Dying Light seems to be. All
right, run so fun. To be completely specific, what I want is Grand Theft Auto Zombies.
There you go.
Release that.
Is Rockstar listening?
Like, now. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want GTA Online with zombies.
Yeah.
Zombies Online is what I want.
Where, like, you come across other players and they're like, whoa.
Yeah, like, hey, whoa, dude, whoa.
But you don't have a whole lot of bullets, so, like...
Sticky bombs!
Yeah, that...
No, I don't want that crap.
Like, yeah.
And I think that cars should be very, like, rare in that game.
And the gasp, like... Is that...
Like, I think there should be cars everywhere, obviously.
Sounds like H1Z1's the game for you.
I don't know what that is.
It's a MMO that SEO or SOE launched a couple weeks ago, and it was totally broken.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to try that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing it.
But yeah.
No, but Evolve. I'm ready for that.
No, we're talking about Dying Light.
No, I'm ready for Evolve.
We're talking about Dying Light. I'm talking about Dying Light. Shut up. I'm talking about Dying Light. The game is awesome. One of the biggest surprises of this year so far. I highly recommend it to anybody.
I was about to say, because if you say that to me, I'm basically just going to borrow it and go and play it.
Yeah,
room.
Like, go ahead, test it out.
Doing it. You know, I was thinking about that, like, I think it was like yesterday, I was driving home, because I thought you were going to be here, and I was like, I need to talk to him about borrowing that during the week so that I can try to
You don't
get
have to ask me,
it.
Just come push eject.
No, but that's my...
Or text me.
I have a thing against that. I don't like... yeah, I mean, I would text you, but I don't like just, like, rolling up and going, hey... Give me that, and then just running out, you know? Like,
yeah.
It bothers me. Like, honestly, I don't really even come in your room unless I feel like I've left something in here.
Mm.
Like, if I'm like, all right, we did the podcast yesterday. Maybe my iPad's in there, because I can't find my iPad.
Don't forget today.
Yeah, I know. My laptop's in here, too, right now, too. But yeah, like, I never come in here. The only thing I ever do in your space is if my wife is sleeping, sometimes I will use your bathroom. Because I don't want to wake her up. Because, you know, the dog freaks out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, like, I mean, it's literally, I don't come through your room. I go through the kitchen.
So you just blow up my bathroom.
I've never taken a dump in there.
Oh, that's good to know.
Not once. I just pee. If I'm going to shit, man, I'll go to my bathroom. Because I don't want you to come walking in and just be like, ah! And then fall
Suffocate.
Out.
Suffocate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of giant dumps, this is the Couch Co-op Podcast, episode number 20.
Nice, Joe, nice.
Thanks for listening. I believe we're getting new microphones soon.
Tell your friends and family.
Yeah, but update.
Working on the microphones.
I think we're getting new microphones pretty soon, and...
Tax refunds.
I'm going to buy a table from, like, Walmart or something, so that we can put our mics on the table and then videotape the podcast and put it on YouTube.
No, dude, we'll use the beer pong table and just put a really nice like cover over it.
But like that's kind of big for me. Like I want like an intimate table. Like
a 2-man table?
Yeah. Possibly 3-man. Like 1, 2, 3 or 1, 2, 3, 4. Like,
use the coffee table. I mean the coffee table.
Cuz you know I want it in here so I can put my posters up and have a backdrop.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want a nice wood table. I just want like a plastic table.
Well, you need something you can fold up then cuz you're not going to have a lot of room in here if you put a fucking table in here.
It's right there. Boom.
I'm just saying. All
right. Whatever. We're working on putting
it like right here.
Yeah. We're working on putting the podcast on YouTube in video form. As well as on our website for free.
We just need to upgrade to a 3-bedroom and have one room as our recording
room.
/ game room.
That'd be a great idea.
No. Way too expensive.
Okay, fine. All right.
What we need to work on is mics and internet speed.
Yes.
Those are our two like top notch things that need to be addressed.
Yes, yes, yes. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. We're gonna be back next week.
We will attempt to be back next week.
We will be back.
You know, I'm pretty sure that's what we said last week. Like 2 weeks ago.
I just feel like if I say it enough, I'll believe it and like I'm actually coming to. Anyways, we'll be back when we're back.
We're gonna try really hard though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that helps you feel better.
Dad. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's another thing. Did you get the email from my dad?
I haven't checked.
He called me, and he said something about, he's like, you don't have a lot of people. I'm a loyal fan, and I'm getting antsy. You need to release some stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, shut up, Dad.
Well, at least he cares. Thank you guys for listening. I feel like I've said that like 15 times.
Thanks for listening.
This is the Couch Co-op Podcast. I'm Joe Nixon. You can follow me on Twitter at @Joseph_Ethan.
Thanks for listening.
You are Casey Tapp. They can follow you on Twitter at...
I feel like I don't ever remember. Casey Tapp 1? Casey Tapp? No? Yeah, Casey Tapp.
Okay. You can follow us on YouTube.
Don't follow me
on anything. Subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/... Couch Co or Couch Coop Net. I changed the URL so it's simpler. And then you can do the same thing on Google Plus. at Couch Co.
I want to use Net. Google Plus.
I know. Well, some people do. And then Twitch. Twitch.tv/CouchCo_op.
Don't ever follow me on Facebook or Twitter because I don't do anything on there. Instagram?
Okay.
You can follow me on there. Or.
That's it for the podcast. We're done. Bye.